Welcome to Audible Interlude, a G.I. Joe podcast. I'm your host, Dave West, codename Phantom Troublemaker.
And I am your co-host, Noel Wood, codename Crapshoot.
And I'm your Cobra intern that's surprised at just how much laundry Dr. Mindbender has, codename Legion Cub.
You can follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. Click that follow button. Be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. But the most important thing you can do is recommend us to a friend. Share this podcast all over the internet and let the people know about the three weirdos that talk about G.I. Joe in a way that really nobody else does. Also follow us on Instagram at Audible Interlude Podcast. While you're there, check out the pinned stories and get yourself some Audible Interlude merchandise. We have a wide selection of shirts available, but of course those designs can be put on coffee mugs, hats, phone cases, tote bags, whatever your heart desires. Wear some of that merchandise to a live event, and if we see you in it, we'll get you some free swag. Nothing better than free stuff. But do wait for a sale, is my recommendation on that merchandise. We also have a Facebook group that is going to come into play in just a little bit here. I'm going to put a link in the chat. So if you're watching us live on the Needless Things YouTube channel right now, you can click on this link and join the group. And if you are not watching live and can't click on that link, then you can send a message to Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram. And barring technical difficulties, we can add you to the group there. Every once in a while, there are weird challenges. Like the link doesn't tend to work on mobile. I had one Audible Army recruit who I could not get added to the group. So because social media is a terrible hellscape, there's only so much we can do. But we'd love to have you if the powers that be allow it. So check all that out. You're watching us live on the Needless Things YouTube channel. I finished up my reviews of the Loyal Subjects Mask Series 1. Some of them are the most negative reviews I've ever done in 14 years. No, more than that. Over 15 years of reviewing toys. And I think these are some of the most negative reviews I've had to do. And I don't like doing negative reviews, but, you know, if there's reason, I'll do it.
At least the folks at Loyal Subjects have been very, very professional with their responses about said things.
We'll talk about that in a minute. We'll have a little follow-up on that. And this week, I believe, unless circumstances change, I will finally be putting up my review of the Super 7 Reaction Plus Pythona. I'm way behind on Reaction Plus reviews, but it's just because so much stuff has been coming out over the last few months. It was hard to keep up with everything. As I mentioned, we're on the Needless Things YouTube channel. Our next live stream is going to be on February the 2nd. Put it on your calendar. And I do believe there's a G.I. Joe Day. I don't know that they'll do it on Sunday. But G.I. Joe Day, I think, has been falling on February 1st. So maybe we'll have some news to talk about on the 2nd, whether they, you know, drop some stuff over the weekend or drop it on that Monday. We'll see what happens. But hopefully for the first time in quite a few live streams, we'll have some real concrete news to discuss. All right. So we do have a little bit of follow up. And one of them, as Noel mentioned, the Loyal Subjects, while I sent an email, if you're in the Audible Army Facebook group, I shared the email that I sent to the Loyal Subjects about my dissatisfaction with those mask vehicles. I was pretty, I think everybody that reviewed it can agree, I was pretty diplomatic and factual. It was critiques and not mind, like that outrage that people like to stir themselves up into. Like, it was all just factual things. And I didn't make any assumptions about why the things had happened or what they were. I just pointed out, you know, these doors don't close. It would have been nice if they did. This spring action doesn't work. It was all facts. I got no response to my email at all, which I, you know, I didn't expect in this day and age, even from a smaller company like that. Customer service just isn't what it used to be. But the loyal subjects, in response to the massive amount of backlash against these releases, did, I guess they emailed it to people that were on their mailing list. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was my understanding.
So, that's what happened. If you sent them an email, you didn't get anything. But if you're on their mailing list, apparently you got a pretty smarmy, you should be glad you've got these toys type response. Very unsatisfactory.
You don't know what quality, you don't know what QC is.
Right, right. Well, but see, okay. And that's part of the problem with how in their feelings people get online, because I can only imagine the kinds of messages and comments and whatever else that they were getting that were not constructive, that were just, you ruined this, you stupid, like, you know what I mean? Like, we know how the internet is.
Sure.
So, like, but I'm not saying their response was good, but I understand where their response was coming from.
I think they needed the 3-second rule. If if this response had been limited to just mask, I might have said, okay, this was a one-off. But previously, before that one had even gone out, they had sent a response to a lot of people in the gym fandom, because the gym message boards, when the San Diego Comic-Con set, the Synergy and Jerrica set came out, people were posting all kinds of QC issues with it. And they sort of did the same thing, where basically told them, you should be happy that you're getting any product at all.
Right, right.
And that didn't sit well. And, you know, you never know how much people online are just saying stuff to say stuff. But there were a lot of people that were, you know, commenting about how they were canceling their pre-orders for stuff, because your first wave is the chance for you to make a good impression.
Yeah.
And if you have QC issues, I think I was telling you guys about this.
Let's refrain, since they don't approve of our use of the term quality control issues. Let's instead use the term manufacturing defects.
There you go.
Because there's no arguing that.
But Nacelle has gotten feedback about one of the figures from their first wave. And so Nacelle's response was, we are going to stop shipping this figure. We're going back to the factory to figure this out. I don't know if that, you know, that probably costs them more money, whatever, but it was sort of like to me, that is a good faith response of, hey, we are listening to you and we hope to fix this issue. Not, we're going to dig our heels in the sand and we're going to toy guru this by saying you fans are the ones that are in the wrong for saying this.
Well, and that's, I got distracted by a comment and completely lost my train of thought. So I'll just say this. I was already in the camp of, well, I'm probably not going to order the second series of Mask now. And after reading that letter, I am absolutely not ordering the second series of Mask now, and likely won't be doing any more business with the loyal subjects, because that is an attitude from a manufacturer that is just not acceptable. And granted, loyal subjects is in Walmart and Target, and they're a larger, smaller company, but amongst independent toy companies, like, having an attitude is a non-starter for me.
Yeah,
like if you can't handle some customer service, then I'm not dealing with you. So that's a little bit of follow-up there. And if you would like to see those reviews, they're right here on the Needless Things YouTube channel. Also on the channel. Follow-up.
Let me
finish promoting.
Okay.
I just want to say, also on the Needless Things YouTube channel, just interviewed David Vonner, who is a legend in the toy industry, worked for Spencer Gifts, which I did not know, and we did not get deep enough into that. We had a great conversation. He worked for Spencer, Hasbro, Toy Biz, Mattel. He's done it all, and now he's helping smaller companies follow their dreams, basically. Just an incredible guy. Great conversation. He's going to be back on in March because that first conversation, we had a great time, but man, I could spend 2 hours talking to him just about Spencer Gift stuff. He's fascinating dude. So check that conversation out here on the channel or wherever you get your podcast. The audio version with the exclusive introduction is available as well. All right. Sorry, Christian. I just had to make sure I dropped that in.
Yep. Only because the chat was moving up, so I didn't want to lose this. For those who have been following along for the Pop Heist, Brett White Cobra Law, he says now G.I. Joe Day is the new targeted date for the big Cobra Law feature piece. So
that's actually the comment that distracted me before, because I was going to say something about be sure you put that up there.
Yeah, so I was trying to keep the chat, like, let me keep this in my sight so I can't lose it.
It's moving tonight. All right. Let's see. What do we got? Okay, this one is for you guys, because this popped up today and kind of blew my mind, because I think it might be my favorite Transformer I've ever seen, and I need you guys to educate me about this. What the heck is an Amalgamus Prime?
That is not a figure I am familiar with. No. And
I love this.
It looks very Diaclone-y.
It's available. It's available. Not pre-order. It is available right now from Big Bad. I think it says it's one of the 13.
Yeah. Well, there's the 13 primes, which is part of the more recent Transformers lore. Like the Transformers 1 movie dives into that a little bit. And okay. Yeah, I know he's one of them. But yeah, I have not been following along with a lot of these new like Age of the Primes type toys. But yeah, that thing's a little bonkers.
It's like crazy. I mean, it's
the weird thing looks like it has eyeballs.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have even recognized it as a Transformer.
It looks like the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brett White says, oh God, so many eyes in so many places. And all I can say is Cobra Commander's dates say the same thing.
Oh, hey, he was once a man.
But yeah, this just popped up today, and it's $42.99 on Big Bad, which is kind of a bonkers price. I mean, unless it's, you know, a foot tall, but I know Transformers are pretty expensive right now. So,
well, I mean, for that many modes, that regardless of size, that's actually not that bad of a price.
If I see it in person and get to like look at it up close, I might end up with one of these, because this is just awesome. And for anybody that's listening, it's this crazy modular. It looks like maybe something from the junk world, sort of, but it looks like all of the parts come apart almost like a gestalt, except it's just a singular robot made up of little pieces. It's weird. Or yeah, almost like a Voltron, kinda. But very interesting. It's called Amalgamus Prime, if anybody wants to look it up that's not familiar. I just think it's awesome. Cool looking toy. All right, what else have we got here? Oh, right into it. So last week's episode, we went through our 2026 wish lists. Each of us, we had a number of categories, and we each chose one thing from each category. And we had fun. Really fun episode.
That went I was long, pretty impressed with one doing. Exception. We all had unique answers for everything.
Yeah, Globulus was our only repeat. And then, sadly, Christian got disqualified from one of that his answers. well, that's okay, because there are going to be more disqualifications tonight. Because, as I have learned over and over again, I have seen the lesson of you must explain exactly what it is you want, or people will not give you what you want. So there are a couple of these categories where I was not clear about what I was asking for, and we got some wacky answers. So we're going to run through the Audible Army's responses now to the different categories of the 2026 wish list. And this is the second time I'm going to have to use, or the first time, first of two times I'm going to have to use Facebook for reference tonight, which I really hate. So first up, I'm just doing these in the order that they're on the screen. Which Reaction Plus multi-pack would you like to see in 2026? Should I read all the suggestions or just read the winner?
Read the suggestions if there's not.
Like, I'll run through the suggestions. Okay. Yeah. We've got, I'll do them from bottom to top. A selection of unreleased 1995 figures, which is actually, I like that suggestion a lot. I don't know if it's something, well, I don't know. Knowing some of what we know, that might be something Super 7 would consider. And I really like it as an idea. Mega Marines, Arctic Duke, Baroness Quick Kick, Zartan, which is really more a wave than a multi-pack, but it would be a great wave. Cobra Leadership at Group Therapy, which is good. And then Sergeant Slaughter and the Renegades from G.I. Joe the Movie. And then the winner was Satin, Snake Eyes, Shipwreck, Polly, and Timber in their disguises. Next up, single carded Reaction Plus figure. Bringing up the rear, Hondaloo West. Tide, Lady J, Sunbow, and Neo Viper. Next up, Animation Cell Error Dr. Mindbender, which I'm guessing is like him without pants or something. I don't know for sure. It's Wreck Ship being a funny boy. Cadet Dimming, and then the winner, Dr. Venom. Classified HasLab. Tied for last, the Tiger Shark and the Stun, which I got to say, neither of which I really don't think either of those would be a HasLab.
No, those would be like, you know, the same like vamp scale, medium sized. Yeah,
vampish.
Yeah.
Next up, the Hammer, which is a wild suggestion. The Cobra Moray, and then tied for the top spot, the Thunder Machine and the Whale. So we need a tiebreaker. No, we don't. We got to keep moving. and then made to order vehicle. And this is one where maybe I could have specified a little more. Like, I'm thinking in the vein of what we've already seen, which is the Arctic Hiss. So I was really more looking for, you know, a repaint of something existing, because I don't know that we're going to get like a new from the ground up made to order, but we don't know for sure. So tied for bottom are Tiger Rat, Dreadnought Ground Assault. Oh, I'm sorry. No, Cobra Wolf came in last. And then Tiger Rat, Dreadnought Ground Assault, and Pursuit of Cobra Vamp. And then the winner by a landslide was the Thunder Machine with Thrasher. Which, I mean, it's a possibility that would be done as made to order, but that's just not how I'm seeing that slot at this point in time. Which medium vehicle would you like to see? At the bottom, tied the jump jetpack with platform and Grand Slam, which I don't think that's a medium vehicle. I think that's a small vehicle, if anything. And the Cobra Imp. Then the Air Skiff with Zanzibar, which I would like to see. The Swamp Fire. And then winning this category, the Cobra Stun. A small vehicle. On the bottom, the Skyhawk. Next up, ATV Motorized Vehicle Pack 1988. So just a little tiny ATV. Because you got to think that would have to be smaller than the Ferret, right? Mm-hmm. Although that would, I mean, honestly, then that would probably be more like a real scale ATV, you know, because the Ferret's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Then tied in second place, the Cobra Night Landing and the Silver Mirage. And the winner, Destro with the Despoiler. New York Comic-Con exclusive. On the bottom, the Interrogator and Battlecopter. In second place, the Cobra La Royal Guard, which, like, we already know that's coming. Which, I mean, it may be the New York Comic-Con exclusive. That's a possibility. But I'm not expecting that. And then the winner, landslide again, Globulus. San Diego Comic-Con exclusive. And again, this I didn't put classified in there, which is what we were looking for. So tied at the bottom, Cobra Missile Command Headquarters with Retro Cobra Trooper and Listen and Fun Tripwire. Next up, Jim and the Holograms. And the winner, G.I. Joe Transformers crossover of Clutch and Hound, which I would love to see, but wasn't quite what we were looking for. Classified multi-pack for 2026. Coil Crusher and Venomous Maximus bringing up the rear. Tied for second place, Headman and Headhunter General. And Night Force Muskrat and Spearhead and Max, which at first I was like, what, what? And then I realized Night Force, that's actually a really cool set. Mm-hmm. I dig that idea. But the runaway winner, and I think everybody just being nice to me, was Special Mission Brazil.
It's kind of our thing here.
Yeah. Classified mainline release. Mirage is at the bottom. Muskrat just above that. Cesspool and Bomb Strike tied for second. And the winner, Airtight. And then finally, for classified retro card back, Barbecue is on the bottom, which I'm assuming tiny barbecue, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago. We do need a little barbecue. Going by the 1985 artwork, coming in above that, Red Ninja, just above that, Buzzer, Firefly with Good Construction above that, second place, Mail-In Deco Sergeant Slaughter, and first place, Joe Colton Retro Card Back. And that is all of the 2026 wish list results. If you would like to join the Audible Army Facebook group, I'm going to put that link in the chat one more time. You can join now, or you can send a message to Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram, and we will do our best to get you added. We will fight the forces of social media to try and get you added to the group.
Forget Cobra. G.I. Joe's new weapon is, or new villain is, the algorithm.
Yeah, it really is. It's everybody's villain. All right, you guys have any more follow-up? Anything else to talk about before we move to news?
No.
Then it is time for some news. All right. First up, we've got a little, sorry, the comments got me again. Skybound information. Skybound, Image, and Hasbro announced Energon Universe Special 2026 for Free Comic Book Day. As always, this represents a jumping in point for the world of the Energon Universe. It features four all-new stories from the worlds of Transformers, G.I. Joe, Void Rivals, and more in this Free Comic Book Day issue from the biggest names in comics. Energon Universe talent Robert Kirkman, Joshua Williamson, and more penned the stories, and Jason Howard, Connor Hughes, and more will provide art. So we've reviewed the last couple of these they've done. They have been pivotal story points in the Energon Universe. It's a comic that's a must-have, and it's free. So go to your local comic book shop on Free Comic Book Day, which, you know what I didn't do? I didn't put down the date. It's usually the first Saturday of May, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking it up right now. Saturday, May 2nd, 2026. Go to your local comic book shop. Grab yourself a Energon Universe comic. Start a poll, because you should be reading the Energon Universe. We've been reviewing all of the Joe issues and having a blast doing it. The Dreadnought War recently came to an end, and we put that review up a week ago, last week. And then next week, we'll be reviewing G.I. Joe number 18, the first appearance of Roadblock. Very exciting. Speaking of first appearances, oh, look at that. I love this cover because it just looks old school to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know about the white background of it. Like, I think a Marvel release would have had an actual background and not just all that white. But it does highlight those characters, which is the point, because two new Joes make their first appearance as Duke and Roadblock lead a dangerous cover-op into Barovia. So this is crazy on all kinds of different levels, because we're introducing two new characters, and we're going to get to their bios written by Larry Hama here in a minute. But we did reviews of the Barovia epic, I guess, from the Marvel comics not that long ago. Well, it might have been 5 years ago for all I know. Time has lost all meaning
last year
in my life. But we have two new Joes being introduced in G.I. Joe Real American Hero. And if anybody can read the number on that, I'd appreciate it, because I sure as heck didn't write it in the notes, because I thought it was going to just copy in the text I put in here. So I'll read some text and you guys look up which issue this is. Oh, here it is. Issue 325. Larry Hama and Chris Mooneyham launched G.I. Joe, a Real American Hero number 301 at Skybound over 2 years ago. And for their milestone 325th issue, they're thrilled to introduce two brand new Joes, Downrange and RC, said Alex Antone, editorial director at Skybound. The real battle in warfare is technological and tactical, said Larry Hama. Recent advances and innovations have made the old way untenable, so I felt compelled to create two new Joes to counter these deficiencies. RC, file name Hector M. Salazar, is the new drone operator. He hails from Boyle's Heights in East LA, and he is to unmanned remote control aircraft and land robotics what Roadblock is to the Ma Deuce. Downrange, file name Halevi S. Viesdenen, excuse me, is the scout sniper. Daughter of a legendary hunting guide from Red Wing, Minnesota, it has been said that she can split a popsicle stick at 200 yards with iron sights on a national match M21 and 7.62 NATO. So not only do we have these two new Joes, but we've got these bios that Larry Hama threw out here. Well, that Skybound, Larry Hama created, but Skybound released, because they recognize the importance of establishing characters in the G.I. Joe universe. So this is very exciting. Christian, you were keeping up with Real American Hero better than I was. How caught up are you right now?
Issue 323, which I think is the last one that just came out.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I highly recommend Larry Hama as a Real American Hero, but I will say I am eager to leave the casino behind and get to Barovia.
See, I was surprised when they announced these two new characters. They said their names were Downrange and RC, and I see a female figure and just figure they're repurposing the name RC for a G.I. Joe character. Right. But no.
Well, and there was a... Here, let me bring it up. Nowhere Manchild said, the way file cards always give Joes and Cobras such great background and character. And then he also said that you guys had chatted about this in the Facebook group, that even brief bio write-ups give these two immediate legitimacy as Joes. Mm-hmm. And that had me thinking, remember right before the IDW license ended, they introduced a new Joe, a new female Joe into the book.
Yeah.
I want to say it was within like the last year, but there wasn't a bio for her. And I don't remember there being much fanfare. It's kind of like she was there. I don't think she's made any appearances or maybe like background appearances since Skybound. So I'm excited that by Skybound putting the news out this way, that I'm seeing chatter about it.
I feel like they know what they're doing. They understand how the G.I. Joe fandom and universe works, and they recognize the importance of, look, let's put Larry Hama is going to write these bios regardless. It's mm-hmm. how he establishes these characters. Let's release that because we know it's important. We know it's engaging to the fans. So they've been very smart the whole way. And they, you know, they've only been getting better as they go. Throw up Yorktown Joe's comment up there if you don't mind.
Yorktown Joe says the original Barovia story was in Marvel issues 61 through 66 with an epilogue in 67 and a crossover with Special Missions 6.
And we reviewed all of it last year, as Christian said. So it's all available wherever you get your podcast.
And if you can go up a little bit more and highlight at Joe ARH 42's post from 828. That is actually a good call out there. It's right above Reverend Scott Stripling's message that says Barovia.
There we go. Sorry, I was still scrolling. I love that the chat is going tonight, by the way, guys.
Yeah.
I am trying to keep up with it. But Joe Arah 42 says, Downrange looks suspiciously like one of the portraits on the 60th anniversary Marine Sniper. Just saying.
And oh, interesting.
And as soon as he said that, I'm like, man, do they still have them at Ross? Because now I want to go out and buy one. Because I've been picking that thing up and setting it down so many times.
Yeah.
But like, smart. Yeah, that gives me reason to want it now.
Okay. Next up, we have got some fresh Monkey Fiction news. There are a few new things, and one thing that I think I just missed before or didn't pay enough attention to, but we're going to start with something very exciting. So Bulletproof, who I believe was originally fall of 2026, I feel like the date was way out. Now, I could be wrong about that, but the shipping date has now moved up to first quarter 2026. So he's right around the corner here. And I cannot wait to get him in hand. And I hope that they can, you know, get some momentum going and deliver some more Cops and Crooks ASAP, because this is a line that I've always wanted to scale with other lines. So the fact that we're getting this in 1/12 scale, I'm very excited to get this in hand. And just expand that 1/12 Fresh Monkey Fiction shelf, which is what it's going to become, because there's so much stuff they're putting out that for me is essential. And he's still available for pre-order from Big Bad Toy Store. All right, next up, So this isn't new. I think this was shown a while ago, and I thought to myself, I don't really need a monkey guy. Like, years ago, I would have bought this as a novelty. Like I say all the time now, I just don't spend money on stuff just because it's cool, which that Amalgam Prime or whatever the heck it is would go against that rule. But for the most part, I just don't buy it because it's cool anymore, because toys are so expensive. But, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, if I'm walking through Target and I see this and it's $12 or $10, which is what it would have been then, I'd be like, well, heck yeah, I'm going to buy this monkey secret agent, of course. But for $38 or $40, I just don't think I need a monkey secret agent. Until we saw that George Lazenby head that's coming with one of the other Fresh Monkey Fiction figures. And I'm like, oh, I believe I'm going to need that Tux body, which is probably the intent of this figure. Like, I appreciate that Fresh Monkey Fiction is kind of doing its, you know, Mezco has its Roach guy. It's immensely off-putting Roach guy that you can use those bodies with any of the other stuff they've put out or whatever and do all kinds of cool customs. And I imagine the intent here is, well, look, here's a mascot type character that we're going to put out. But, you know, what you do with the body or whatever he comes with, that's up to you. So I do need this suit body. And every time I say I need a suit body, my soul shrinks a little bit because of the years and years and years Schweck and I have spent making fun of suit body figures. But this just looks so sharp with that white tux jacket, the bow tie, the black trousers. Like, this is a James Bond body.
I was trying to go through my photos from this past JoeCon because I feel like they had him in the display case.
I think you're right. I think he's like months old.
Yeah. And so when I initially saw him, same sort of thing where I was like, okay. But unlike you, it wasn't the George Lazenby head. It was watching the movie Better Man, the Robbie Williams monkey movie. Honestly,
I'm aware of it.
Yep. After watching it, I was like, I need a 1/12 scale monkey person in people clothes. And then this popped back up and I was like, oh, this is perfect.
This one isn't like perfectly ideal, but like when I see this, I want to slap Destro's head on it and do like Cobra-thon Destro.
Oh yeah.
Which is not quite the same tuxedo, but you know, it's close enough.
Well, now there is an all black tuxedo body coming out on the agent figure.
And Carlos Salinas says, I'm still waiting on my Crimson Moon figures.
Well, everybody is.
Well, just today, when I was on Big Bad, I noticed it no longer says first quarter 2026. It says March 2026. Yeah. So
it down a little bit.
Fingers crossed.
Let's see. Somebody asked, is it already gone? Double pale ale.
Ah. Who ordered the Soldier of Fortune hooded Cobra Commander figure yet? Any updates on the release?
I've got it pre-ordered, and it is currently showing first quarter 2026. I would not expect it first quarter 2026. These dates are, you know, as we've seen with all the releases, they shift around. That's the best estimate. But, you know, could be here by May. We'll see. We'll keep you updated. Next up, Koala. Why not a koala? Now, I'll be honest, I would rather have a koala sized figure than a suit body with a koala head, you know, like Hit Monkey style. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a small figure that is actually a koala, but it's I would imagine it's probably going to be another, you know, humanoid body with this head put on it. It looks great. It's awesome. I'm a fan of Fresh Monkey Fiction. Anything they want to do, I will enjoy, whether on my shelf or from afar. It would actually, you know what I would love to see this koala on? I have been dying for Hasbro to do a Marvel Legends version of that Commando Wolverine, the one that was black, the Toy Biz one that was black and gold.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I think it was black and gold, and then they also did an olive drab and bronze, I think, mm-hmm. different color version. I want that in Marvel Legends so bad, but if they would do basically that with this koala head, I would get it in a second. That kind of tactical outfit.
I can, you know, I'm also seeing some, since he's Australian, do some Dreadnought crossovers with a koala.
Oh, koala
hybrid,
wow.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, well, then they've got to do the, oh man, I wish Fresh Monkey Fiction could get the Tank Girl license.
Oh.
And do the rippers and
mm-hmm. oh, the kangaroos, man. Yeah.
That would be incredible. Okay.
Ice-T's finest role.
Yes. did you guys see this crazy thing? It's another translucent plastic variant of one of their figures. This is the Black Watch Shadow Wraith. Now, I've only got one image up here, but it comes with multiple heads. So it's got the demon head, two different agent heads, and then it's the agent body, but with a longer coat. Looks very cool. No images. You know, usually when they'll do some figure images and then a parts image that has like everything that it comes with. I haven't seen a parts image for this one yet. But looks very cool. It's the ZoloCon 2026 exclusive. And if it's like the other ones, it'll be up online at some point later on. But you'll be able to, I believe, actually pick it up and purchase it at ZoloCon.
Rexship says, Fresh Monkey Fiction must have gotten a deal on translucent plastics last year. So I say, because if you remember, we also started out the line with the translucent Dracula. They just know what sells.
Yeah, I mean, these have all done very well for them, and they're doing them in a way that makes sense. Every mm-hmm. single one of the translucent figures so far has had like a purpose to it. It's not just, look at this, it's a see-through version. Like, this is an alternate form of the Shadow Wraiths. The Forgotten King was like a projected form. Mm-hmm. The Eraser variants that they did, like, they all do make sense. It's not just a thing. But I'm still waiting for a glow-in-the-dark something. Now, they did, the Forgotten King does glow-in-the-dark, but we need more. More glow-in-the-dark, please. Now, this one, this is a must-have. It's definitely a little more on the army guy side, but then you throw in those werewolf heads, and I'm pretty excited. This is the Demiworg Infiltrator. This is the convention exclusive for 2026. This is the one where you visit the Big Bad Workshop booth at any toy convention where they're present, and you pre-order it there, and then you get it down the line. So basically you go up, they'll add it to your pile of loot or whatever. Like, you give them your account and they add it and you pre-order it right there on the spot. And I don't know how those have worked in the past. I think you can only, like, I don't think they've gone up for sale later. I think you have to get them. You have to do the pre-order at the convention, but I'm not positive. What do you guys think of this one?
Oh, it's a must. I generally, I don't want just like regular army guys. Like, I'm not necessarily a fan of the camo and all that, but the closed mouth werewolf head, you got me. So
yeah,
anybody that wants some ski masked heads when this is finally in my hands, just let me know.
Well, and the price point for everything that it comes with, it's still the $40 price point. So, I mean, that's pretty solid. And I wish I could get a closer look at that portrait of Braxton Van Helsing, which somebody, I think it was Rexship, had something funny to say about that. That name just is
Braxton.
That name's real millennial, I believe was his comment. But yeah, this is, I'll get at least, well, I say at least, I will get one of these, and that will be that. But it'll be worth it. And then finally, this is one that I think also went up for pre-order a little while ago, but kind of went under the radar for me. Major Stryker. Do you guys remember seeing this guy?
I thought he just went up for pre-order because they made the translucent Blood Dracula and Forgotten King available for pre-order again. And then he was in that photo with them. But it just looks like the same figure, just a more, for lack of a better term, a cartoony blue for the suit.
I like the blue, and the thought in my head would be interesting to put the hood from the other one on this suit to have like a more military Cobra Commander look.
Right.
But the reason I wasn't sure about when he was offered is he got put up. You got to go between Big Bad Workshop and Fresh Monkey Fiction to see who posted what. Hang on. I'm trying to do a little live
while
research.
You're looking,
I apologize.
Joe Ara 42 says Eagle Force. I need a little bit more. All right, so when we're saying we thought this guy was up for pre-order before he was part of the Eagle Force line? Okay, Eagle Force Stryker, same dude.
Okay. I thought they were all gold, but sure. I'll take it. But anyway, seeing this guy... Okay, so the post I saw, it had that translucent Forgotten King. I think the red skeletons are what threw me off, the translucent red skeletons, because I think those went up a little while ago, and I just couldn't justify the pricing on them, even though they're awesome. I'd love to have them. But yeah, maybe these are more recent.
And White Mike Vegeta chimed in confirming that it's a character from Eagle Force, and they said they teased the character but did not put him up for pre-order.
Oh, is so this from Fresh Monkey Fiction's like 1/18 scale Eagle Force when they were doing like different
colors
and stuff?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay. All right. And then we've got one more thing I want to mention because it went up right before... Oh, did I lose my spot? There we go. This went up right before we went on air. We have an update from Operation Recall, and it actually straightens out something that I got mixed up on. So, something that I misremembered. I didn't back the Kickstarter because at the time there was so much other stuff going on, and I just couldn't decide which of the figures. I just kept putting it off. So I backed the backer kit. None of the backer kit stuff went out in that initial shipment. So, no. All right. We got to go back to White Mike. Put up his most recent comment. Yeah, I know he's 1/12. I'm saying, is he from their 1/18 scale line? Like, that's where the character came from. I know that he's 1/12. This figure we were looking at is 1/12 scale. But I just... In my memory, none of the Eagle Force figures were blue until Fresh Monkey Fiction started making them, and they were doing different colors and stuff. All right. So Operation Recall project updates the Wave 1 figures. So they're waiting for the Wave 1 freight delivery to arrive. Kickstarter, backer kit, and website pre-orders will resume shipping in that order once they arrive. So not even all of the Kickstarters got their Wave 1s prior to the holidays. They're waiting for the rest of the stuff to come in. So this goes back to by, you know, March, probably the initial orders will be fulfilled. So sometime in the next couple of months, we'll probably get ours. Because I think you guys did them through the backer kit too, didn't you?
Yeah,
I think there were only like two figures that I got. Or was it one?
I just know that I waited a little longer. The post was accompanied by hand-painted prototypes, which I didn't have time to get this picture and throw it in our presentation, or else we'd have it right here. But it's all over the socials. I'm sure everybody's following Operation Recall. The field guides, figure and accessory photography is complete. Chad is steadily editing those images. Carson is currently laying out, researching, and writing Volume 2 file cards. Wayne Shiner continues shooting and editing vehicles and playsets. The Art of Operation Recall book and Blu-ray. Post-production is next up after the field guides are complete. The story concludes with Rotello making it into my hands this summer, 36 years after dreaming him up. Cannot wait. And then there's more about the posters, the hardcover, and all kinds of other stuff. Just be sure and check socials for this project update. Quite frankly, I imagine everybody here got this update, but I just wanted to be sure and mention it because, you know, things are really starting to move for Operation Recall. It's very exciting to see all this coming together now. And that wraps up the news and brings us to our favorite segment of the show. I think everybody's favorite segment of the show, the one where we go to socials, we go to Audible Interlude Podcast on Instagram. We ask for your input. What do you want us to talk about? That segment is called Sound Off. Every time we're doing a live stream early in the day, we'll put up a post that says Sound Off, and we ask for your input as to what to talk about. And we've got some good stuff to talk about tonight. Starting with Ed at the Beach. What would you think of a new special mission series, but set more in the real world? Joes could be fighting ISIS or North Koreans. More mature themes and plots. Ed, I think you're a more recent follower of the show, but anybody who's been around since the beginning will not be surprised that my response to this is zero interest whatsoever. That's not G.I. Joe anymore. G.I. Joe has to have that fantasy element. It's an escape with military themes. But me personally, I have no interest in real world G.I. Joe. I'm not even really a big fan of Joe figures looking to real world military. That's just not what the line is to me. There are other brands and other franchises that can handle those duties. And quite frankly, they should.
My response to this is the picture of Danny DeVito shaking his head and going, nah. This is exactly what like went through my mind when I read this. And I know that's a lot of people that do want more like real world stuff, but you know, we talked about Barovia before. Like to me, like G.I. Joe works better when we have these imaginary places, you know, Sierra Gordo, Darklonia, Trucial Abysmia, you know, Cobra Island, and then even like creating places like Springfield and Millville in the continuity as well, and Braca Beach, that all kind of work as these separate entities that maybe have parallels to the real world, but I don't want real world conflicts. And I know that's probably the reason why we haven't gotten an October Guard in modern day Joe.
Yeah, and I am on the same page. I also, when it comes to not excluding real world, but just the whole mature kind of themes, I don't want to end up with G.I. Joe going through the same sort of character assassinations that were happening in Marvel around the time of Civil War and X-Men Schism. Where, you know, here it is, how, you know, over 10 years later, and there are still characters that just have so much baggage and so much damage. And it just, to me, it seems like when you start to cross that line of let's do serious. Then you have to top that with more serious and more serious. And next thing you know, it's just doom and gloom. And, yeah. And,
or you get into something like, you know, we've all talked about our feelings on Resolute here before, which I think a lot of people perceive as being like a more dark, mature Joe. But to me, it's silly because it doesn't, it's not like accurately capturing a dark and gritty Joe story to me.
So, yeah, I think the talent in writing fiction comes from creating dramatic and serious situations that can engage your readers, your fans, however people are taking in the content, and not just pulling from, you know, adapting headlines is a talent. Cribbing from headlines is not, and it's not interesting to me. So no, I definitely don't want this. Although I would be interested in a special mission series. I would love it if they would start doing maybe a quarterly book with completely different talent. And I understand they don't want to dilute what they're doing with Energon Universe and, of course, Larry Hama's title right now. But I would love a quarterly special missions book where they bring in people who have not worked on Joe before but want to, or give them an opportunity to. Kind of like they did with those the silent missions.
Like, yeah. Those so were would really you want fun. Them to be like cool. Non-canon like those and like the Cold Slither comic, or would you?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, scale
I don't
model...
know. And oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, Scale Model Joe says maybe they could do a real world special mission series with the Legacy Collection figures. And that, I feel like, would fit in with kind of what you're describing. Like what they did with the special missions, like, or the silent issues.
Eh. Eh. Next up, I did not get a response to this. So White Vegeta said, with new rumors and leaks, it seems every day, name two Joes and two Cobras you'd like to see digital renders and one bonus name only for G.I. Joe Day on February 1st. And I responded to this and said, do you have a list of the name reveals that we've got as of right now? Because, I mean, that's who the digital renders most likely would be. And I didn't get a response on that. And I don't keep a list, a running list of, like, what we've seen renders of, what we've seen name reveals of. Because I like being surprised over and over again. My memory is shot. So I'll be like, oh, cool, Dial Tone, or, you know, whatever. I don't remember what, you know, what they've announced. So, you know, I'll throw this out there. Two Joes I'd like to see are Super Trooper and Robo Joe. Two Cobras I'd like to see are Bio Viper and Dr. Mindbender version 2. And a name only reveal. Let's go with Joe Colton. Let's bring him back in the mix from earlier. So those are my uninformed choices for that. What about you guys?
I said Flash and Airtight for my Joes. Zanzibar and Voltar, who we have gotten as a name reveal for my Cobras.
Oh,
and
that's right.
And for our name only reveal, Scalpel.
Nice. Oh. Nice.
So for mine, for the Joes, I had Flash and then Spearhead and Max, because I'm not sure how many pet characters are left. and for my Cobras, I did the Toxo Viper and Iron Grenadier Destro, which would obviously be packaged with the Despoiler. And name only, I didn't really have one, because I am going to recommend listeners go back and listen to last week's audio only episode, which was our wish list for 2026. Because everything I would say is in that episode.
And that was almost my response to this, but I was just hoping we'd get a list of name reveals so we could kind of review it here. Oh, I like Brett's suggestion is good there.
Yep. Oh, I know there are still some. Dusty and Sandstorm, Scale Model Joe's Eel version 2 with RoboShark is on my must-have list.
Yes.
I do a costume of Dusty with Sandstorm with a real life coyote played by my Pomeranian Ann Margaret.
Very accurate. All right, next up, Joe RAH.42. What could Hasbro do to provide more value to the line? Is there an inexpensive way to draw more interest, build out the world, in your opinion? So I guess I'm just in skeptic mode tonight. I think within the constraints of the structure of an American corporation, classified is maxed out on value. That's the easiest answer I can give to that. And I also think that at this point in time, there's as much interest as there could be expected in the classified line. It is very successful. I think everybody that might buy classified is buying classified. You know, there's always the talk of like, well, we could reach out to non-Joe fans. What would bring them in? And I just don't know that that's a reasonable expectation, because, I mean, even the bigger lines are struggling with keeping their own fans engaged, let alone generating new fans. I don't think Joe could be doing any better right now. And again, because of how American corporations are run, I don't think there's any more value that could be added to the line. We're getting more bang for our buck with a Joe figure than you are from most mass market toy lines.
Well, when I was reading this, I was thinking along the lines of ways to draw more interest, build out the world in an expensive way. These little Battlefield accessories that were released back in the old days, like, I'd love to see them do more of this stuff. You can put a set out like this, without a figure, put it out for $20, and the cost of materials is probably like nothing to them for something like that, and builds out the world more, gets more interest in, you know, creating a bigger world. So you'll have more places to put more Joe figures. I don't know.
Previously, in the classified line, we have had exclusives, right? Because Tiger Force was exclusive to Target. Night Force was exclusive to Walmart. Because I am on the same page as Noel. That's the only thing I could think of, was how can you do world building where you don't have to include a figure every single time? And I don't know why there aren't exclusive with some of the fan channels like that. You know, Fresh Monkey Fiction was able to put out a battle pack with a head for Operation Monster Force, and it's $21.99.
Let me ask you this. So if you remember years ago, Hasbro was doing Pulse exclusive troop builders. They did Hydra soldiers. They did AIM soldiers. They did SHIELD soldiers. And the first ones that came out were like $15 each and were just in a white box, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And Noel, what you're talking about, I think if they did something like that, like Battlefield Environment Series, something like that, because again, you get those toy photographers engaged and you get the audience engaged, but make them fan channel exclusive or whatever, or go in the other direction and release a stripped down figure.
That was my first thought, was you do stripped down, you like figures that you've already released in the line, ones that aren't on the shelves anymore, put them out, stripped down. Maybe they just have like one accessory. Yes. You put them in a plain box and you sell them for less than $20.
Yes.
I'm glad.
I think, or even if you can manage to get them on a blister card, which I would, because I do think there needs to be a bit of a collector aspect to it. But then you're kind of confusing the retro card backs. So maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe do them in, remember the old Takara boxes? Mm. We've talked about those before. Do them in something like that. Like the packaging you can fancy up without adding too much expense. So do it kind of like, it's not a blind box figure, but do it kind of like a blind box with some kind of really neat eye-catching graphics on it. And then the figure is just in this box. Kind of like they did with, oh, look, Carlos just said what I was getting ready to say.
Carlos Salinas, a Dollar General line of classified figures.
Yes.
Yep.
Something like that, like they did with the 25th stuff. And with the, well, they'd done it with everything, because there were Valor versus Venom era. They had, you know, lower priced figures that came with like an accessory. They did it with the 25th. They've got a history of doing that. Do that with classified.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, maybe it would be too, maybe even just the figure would be too cost prohibitive. I don't know.
Yeah, so you're not doing any new tooling. You're just basically doing a straight. And yeah, that might tick off some of the secondary market, but who cares? Because what? People want to get those, you know, those Cobra Island, you know, troopers that they did years ago that people are still paying a bunch of money for. You know, if you put that thing out with just like one rifle.
Yeah, they're a lot. Well, but then we're talking about, oh, but they also have the overlays. They also, like, it is a little tricky.
But when you guys
ask how they like execute that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. But there, you know, there might be a statute of limitations on that eventually.
If you have ideas, join the Audible Army Facebook group and share them with us. Next up, Silent Interlude. It snowed here. Who is the best Arctic-themed Joe or environmental specialist at large? I can never pick only one favorite, but I think Dusty is the best environmental specialist overall. Snowjob is the best Arctic specialist, but Frostbite is still my favorite, and the Reaction Plus Arctic Scarlet is too cool not to mention. Snowflake. So, Christian, why don't you tackle this one first?
Yeah, so the best Arctic themed Joe is Frostbite. That's it.
Well, all right.
Competition.
Okay. Any other environmental specialists just to call anybody out?
Well, I got stuck on his thinking Dusty is the best. I get it, but in my mind, Outback is the best environmental specialist because he has to know how to survive in any given situation or environment. So,
well, that's a perfect segue. So I'll go next and say that Outback was my pick for best overall environmental specialist. But Arctic, I mean, it's Snowjob to me. There's just no question whatsoever. Snowjob's the guy.
Since I never had a Snowjob as a kid, Frostbite, well, then later Iceberg were my only like Arctic environmental, but like the Snowcat to me is such a great vehicle. I associate it with Frostbite, so that's why I'd probably say him for Arctic. Environmental Joes, the first two I thought of, Recondo, and Alpine. Just those are two great figures who, you know, special environment figures. Dusty's great too, but I mean, like, and I never even had a Recondo as a kid, but I always like loved. I always pined for that figure because he just looks so cool.
Yeah, Recondo's great. I mean, the out and environmental specialists were always fun. Alpine's a great pick though because he's so unique, and I don't believe they ever did anybody that was even close to another like mountaineer.
Yeah.
So good call.
Well, Scale Model Joes wants to jump in with this one, and he says, I maintain that Windchill is a spectacular underrated figure, and I had to look him up because I couldn't remember what he looked like. And
yeah, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
So he is very underrated. You are correct there because he is a cool looking figure. And then Brett White says the Eco Warriors are my favorite environment. Reverend Scott Stripling wants to know, does Tunnel Rat count?
Yeah, I guess Tunnel's environment. So. Sure. All right.
And Double Pell L chimes in with Beachhead because he the boss.
What's his environment, though?
The beach.
The range.
When I was a kid, I just heard, thought, you know, he must be a beach specialist because his name is Beachhead.
I thought the same thing, yeah. and then finally, Tom.Henry, now that the Dreadnought War has finished, what were y'all's highlights? Hashtag Hydrosled 2026. He had to drop the Fang hashtag because 2025 is over. Hydrosled is his new wish. I'm down with that. I like it. So what were your highlights, Noel? What was your kind of favorite moment from the Dreadnought War?
I thought about this for a while, but I really think that the moment that just my was when Hound reveals himself in the most recent issue, and Duke's reaction to it was kind of what the just tied the whole thing up for me.
It was a lot, and there was so much great in there. Like even going back to, you know, them meeting Road Pig and Duke showing up to save Cobra Commander. And that kind of led me to thinking really my highlight was just how self-sufficient this Cobra Commander is, because yes, Duke saved him, but with what we've seen of this guy, I'm not 100% convinced Duke had to save him. He just happened to show up at a good time. But after that, Cobra Commander's taking care of himself, basically. There were a lot of situations where it seemed like, oh, we're going to do the thing where Duke has to keep rescuing this guy or getting him out of trouble. And it was not the case. Like, this Cobra Commander is a menace. He is a threat. He is competent. And when he says something, you better believe it. So that portrayal of Cobra Commander, I guess, was my favorite thing.
So mine, I hope this makes sense. Mine is how they were able to have so many aha moments. Like every single issue, it wasn't just by the end of the issue, it was like, I can't wait for the next one. Almost every single issue had multiple beats where if you were reading the floppy of this and you turn that page, you know, Road Pig hitting Cobra Commander upside the head with his hammer is just like a drop the book, what kind of moment. And this was just filled with those like multiple times in each issue. So I feel like they really grasped like that what hooked me into comics when I was a kid. But I am also going to highly recommend everybody go back and listen to our reviews, especially our review of the last issue, because that Hound reveal, epic.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Those, all of those reviews of all of the Energon Universe G.I. Joe comics are available wherever you get your podcasts. And that is it for Sound Off. Brings us to the last segment of the show, and one that we haven't done in a while because we've been going long so frequently. And it's time now for Joe and Tell. My guess is that Noel has something from roughly 3 months ago that he's just been waiting to share.
And we did it on our last live stream because I had.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. We did Joe and Tell on our last one.
Okay. I must have done something I made up at the last minute. So Joe and Tell is where each of us shares something on camera that represents G.I. Joe in some fashion. Although, you know, sometimes there's just not new Joe. So it depends. I'll be interested to see what everybody has this time. I'm going to go ahead and start and hopefully pull up the correct. Yeah, good for me. Okay. So my Joe and Tell is the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary mass device that you had to buy several box sets to put together. And one of the box sets was short shipped and then ended up at discount stores and whatever the problem was. It was a massive pain to assemble, but eventually I did assemble it. I did not have to go to the secondary market or anything. I found it at a TJ Maxx or something, maybe. I'm not sure. But anyway, this is, if you will look at it, the 25th anniversary Mass device. You can see it, for some strange reason, has foot pegs for a driver on the back. And you can also see the scale of this thing versus the 25th anniversary figure that was included with it. It is a severely underscaled Mass device. So I'm going to show you now. Take a look at the size of the Mass device in the cartoon. One of those Jada Toys nano figures would be too big to go with the Mass device that I just showed you. So when people say they want a Mass device HasLab, I say, why? Look at how gigantic this thing would have to be. Because I'll tell you right now, just this one honestly takes up a little more shelf space than I want to devote to a Mass device. A classified one would be like 10 times as big as this thing. So I just zero interest in, I don't even really want, this is even more hilarious looking at it now after the picture we just looked at, how tiny this is. But yeah, I don't even really want a 1/18 scale Mass device. What
you just mentioned, Jada Toys. This is the kind of thing I'd love to see them tackle, is like like die cast little versions of things that we never got that are just too big to really do in the main line.
Well, it goes back to my, and I can't believe I didn't put this on my wish list, but I think I've just kind of given up hope on it. It goes back to my desire for an Action Fleet line. Like that size, which is about the size Jada was doing, but I don't really need him to be die cast. I just want that size of vehicle. Well, like ideally, Jax would pick up the license and do them like those Star Wars ships that they're doing. I would love that in a G.I. Joe line, to the point where, this is going to be a little sacrilege, I might prefer that over classified, if I'm being honest. Like, if it turned out to be as expansive as that Star Wars line has been, which I, on the one hand, I wish I had gotten on board with it from the beginning. On the other hand, I'm so glad I didn't, because I never imagined they would release as much stuff as they've done. That line has been spectacularly successful. I would love to see that for Joe. So anyway, that's stop talking about a HasLab Mass device, and nobody put it in the poll. So I'm hoping, you know what? I probably just stirred it back up, and now that's all we're going to hear in 2026. Tom.Henry is probably going to be hashtag Mass device 2026.
More like massive device. Am I right?
You are right. All right. Noel, what do you got?
All right. Well, you mentioned that we do things that are G.I. Joe related, and that's not always the truth, which is definitely not this time for me. So one of my, I didn't really have resolutions, but I was like, you know, this year I am going to participate more in some Lego activity, because I haven't done much in the last few years. I've had a lot of time. I've actually fallen out of being a dues paying member of our Lego users group. But I went to my first meeting in a couple years, actually last Saturday.
Oh, cool.
We'll do build challenges where we come up with an idea to build. The things that I built from my build challenge, I don't have with me, because they are currently in the Discover Mills Lego store, because they're the ones that got put in there, are on display in there right now in one little like window cubicles. But our challenge was to build in the Micropolis scale. So I like to build, you know, like regular like minifigure scale buildings. But this is a scale called Micropolis.
It's your Vortex.
So yes, I did a small version of the Vortex, which is a restaurant here in Atlanta, Georgia, in the little Five Points neighborhood. And I'd done one in minifigure scale with a full interior and everything. And this was one that I'd done a few years back. And you can see the scale is very small. Those are little minifigure roller skates that I use as cars. The cool thing, and you can see the little Technic pins here. This was a scale that was devised by Twinlug out of the Minneapolis St. Paul Lego users group that's up there. Here's another one. There's an original one I did here, and you can see these streets are kind of modular. So you put them together. You got crosswalks.
Is that the pink pony?
This is a little restaurant that I did, a little like drive-through restaurant. Now, what does make this vaguely G.I. Joe adjacent I might have scaled a little tractor trailer up front that might be in our Energon universe as well. So,
although Dave, I do like the idea of Optimus hanging out at the Pink Pony Club.
Well, and if you're from Atlanta, Pink Pony has an entirely different connotation from the song that everybody knows.
Yeah, Chapel Rowan did a song, but it's not about the same Pink Pony Club that Dave and I are familiar with. There's six others that I have currently built. I've built others that I've taken apart over the years, but these two are the ones that I currently have because they did not fit in the case. At Discover Mills Mall, or sorry, it's now Sugarloaf Mills Mall. It's no longer Discover Mills.
Yeah, which is usually when they change the name of something, it's for the worse. But now it's no longer named after a corporate entity, so it's a change for the better.
Yeah,
it's kind of thrilling. All right, Christian, what do you got for us?
Oh, right. So mine is actually a tell as opposed to a show. A few weeks back when we had Brett on the show to talk about Cobra Law, and I did a rewatch of the animated movie, for some weird reason in the credits at the end, there was a name that stuck out to me. And so, of course, I had to look it up. And that name is one Margaret Lesh. She was an executive producer on G.I. Joe the movie because she was an executive producer with Marvel Productions, who made the movie. When I was looking at her resume, there's a reason why this name stuck out to me and now gives G.I. Joe a tie-in with X-Men, because when she left Marvel Productions, she ran Fox Kids from 1990 to 1997. So if you have a favorite Fox Kids show, most likely she is the one who brought it to the airwaves, including X-Men the Animated Series and the Power Rangers franchise. She bought that from Saban. From after there, she moved on to Hallmark, did some stuff with Hallmark getting the rights to the Muppets, where she ended up working for Henson Productions. And eventually in 2009 found herself running The Hub, Hasbro's TV channel. So she ran The Hub from 2009 until the end of 2014. And G.I. Joe Renegades started airing in 2010. But I can't actually find any information yet that says she is responsible for bringing it. So that show might have already been in the works and she just happened to there by the time it finally aired. But she was there until it closed down in 2014. So shout out to Miss Lesh. And also, totally not G.I. Joe related, but she is the executive producer responsible for what I think is the greatest Scooby-Doo animated series of all time, and that is The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Oh. Very interesting information. Well done. And you know what's more mind-blowing than her connection to everything that you just mentioned is the fact that The Hub was actually around for 5 years. I had no idea it lasted that long.
Yeah, a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is all the show we've got for you this week. Our music is by Andy Samford of electricminnowmusic.com. Follow us on Instagram at Audible Interlude Podcast. Noel, why don't you tell us a little bit about The Finest?
The Finest is an international G.I. Joe costuming club that raises money for a wonderful charity called Canines for Warriors. If you happen to see The Finest at your local convention, drop by, maybe donate a few bucks, pick up some cool swag, and talk a little Joe with us.
And Christian, where can we find that toy photography you do so well?
You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky under the name Legion Cub.
Catch our next live stream right here on the Needless Things YouTube channel on February the 2nd. Put it on your calendar. Until then, yo, Joe.
Cobra.
You have been listening to a Needless Things production. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for the very best in toys, movies, music, and pop culture. Until next time, be kind and like what you like.